Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. You are in for a treat. This was music by Suhan Tsinsadze, performed by an ensemble that includes our guest today, Avi Avital. He's a mandolinist and an arranger and has come out with a new album entitled Between Worlds.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Avi. Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, I was so transported with your album. You know, when I first got it, I said, well, what's this all about? And you just, I have to interview you without getting so emotional.
So, thank you so much.
Oh, it was a whole new take on everything. It just really amazing. I have to. Anyway, welcome to Crossover.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and you are really a marvelous instrumentalist. And when I saw your newest album, Between Worlds, I thought mandolin. Well, mandolin. Didn't Vivaldi write some mandolin concertos?
Oh, yes, he did.
He wrote
two mandolin concertos only, all out of the 500 plus concerti, only two. But still, it's above the average, so we're very grateful.
Well, not only that, but it validates the instrument, let's put it that way, because, you know, people who play, and that's in quotes, classical instruments, you know, say mandolin. Well, I don't know. We also have some recordings here of a plectrum orchestra, and I was delighted to see that you evidently you grew up in Israel, and you said you had an actual orchestra, wasn't there? Was it a mandolin orchestra?
Yeah, it was a youth orchestra. That was really my first. That's how I started to play the mandolin, in a youth mandolin orchestra. It was like from 8 years old to 18. I played in a group with other kids playing the mandolin, and we played all kinds of arrangements that our teacher and conductor prepared for us every year. And he made sure that he's arranging a great variety of pieces of classical music, from Bach, Mozart, Tchaikovsky, all kind of wonderful pieces. So that was my kind of introductory point to classical music in general.
Well, of course, the mandolin, for people who don't really understand how you play it, in order to have sustained notes, you have to kind of, what is it,
tremolo.
The tremolo. I was going to say the tremolo. And it's kind of like the flamenco guitarists. But actually, though, you have to sustain those notes. And it's a lot of this activity going on for just a simple line. And I was just amazed just at your ability, but what you did with repertoire that we are so used to hearing, you know, performed so differently, and you put in this amazing, I don't want to say Eastern or Far Eastern or Middle Eastern feel, you know, but that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was amazing. And of course, you have some amazing friends that played with you. Galliano, Richard Galliano, one of the greatest, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. Music of Vittorio Monti. We heard Chardash with an arrangement by our guest today, Avi Avital, who plays the mandolin along with Richard Galliano on the accordion. Tell us a little bit how this came about, I guess.
Yes, I think, I mean, when I look back at this album, this really has been a process, a long process of handpicking both the musicians and also the pieces. And there was one concept that led us all the time, which is revisiting those composers that, when you think of it, it's just 100 years ago. A stream of composers, folklorists from all over the world that wrote classical music, concert hall music, very much driven by their own folklore traditions, or even not necessarily their own culture, like Dvořák, who tried to invent the new American classical music in the end of 19th century, but more famous examples like Béla Bartók.
Well, I was going to say Bartók, of course, but yeah. you inject something so different with those Romanian folk dances. I mean, as they are exotic to begin with, but you, this whole combination, just it infuses it with a whole other feel. It's much more profound. It's much more emotional, certainly for me anyway. I was so taken with that. and then even the Baquianas Brasileiras of Villa-Lobos, you hear it so differently. You inject the Middle Eastern feel into that.
That's exactly, I mean, that was a part of the idea. I mean, the first phase was to find those compositions and to think, I just imagine how extremely modern and revolutionary there was to sit in a concert hall 100 years ago and listen in a piano recital, for example, to these six Romanian folk dances.
Yes.
That was extremely, extremely modern. And what I wanted to do in this CD is to make this music modern again, in terms of not only just play it, because we have a different perspective now, 100 years after. We have YouTube, we know a lot about other cultures, unlike 100 years ago, maybe. But I wanted to preserve this the aspect of innovation, and one of the elements I chose to do it is by taking this music one step back towards its origins. So, for example, in the Spanish folk songs of De Falla, he wrote it for mezzo soprano and piano, so yes, extremely classical, very kind of traditional setting.
Right.
But in order to give it a spice of more Spanish music, where it come from, we added the cajon, which is the percussion, the typical percussions for flamenco music.
Well, that marvel. Yes, right. I'm oohing and aahing because I said, oh gosh, I better listen to this before I speak to Avi. And I listened last night and I was sitting all alone in the studio speaking out loud. I love it. What's so wonderful? What did he do here? You know, I really got very, very much involved. And I'm a harpist myself. So,
oh wow!
Yes,
okay.
And I love. There was very interesting with the defaya, the kind of like a whisper of a glissando. Just
yes,
it's just it was so beautifully done. And again, you added an amazing ingredient. Thank you. music of Manuel de Falla, the seven Canciones Populares Españolas, this arrangement by Efren Osher, and the performers were Efren Osher on flute, Sasha Rattle clarinet, Rolf Benisch guitar, Sarah Veru harp, Zvi Plesser cello, Klaus Stoll double bass, and Itamar Duari percussion. Of course, with Avi Abital on mandolin. Now, the block, the nigun was just, again, that was just your, you probably just bit right into that, didn't?
Yes, that's a very personal, piece for me, because it's a piece that I remember. It was one of the first pieces I learned from, I worked on with my, with my teacher from the Jerusalem Academy. It was like, for me, it was this, you know, philosopher teacher almost. And it's a piece that I just connected so much, and I've been playing in almost all my concerts. It's in my veins, this piece. And originally, it's written for violin and a symphony orchestra, and it starts with this huge symphonic introduction and very like a bombastic instrumentation, orchestration. And because the meaning of Baal Shem was always to me a rather intimate and a rather spiritual, mysterious imagination figure I had in mind, I decided to in the arrangement, to start the whole beginning, the whole first section, to play it a cappella. So really taking out everything that Bloch himself wrote for the orchestra, but rather transform it into a much more intimate and,
exactly.
and much more personal.
Very intimate, and it would be just like us, like the chazan would be singing or something like
exactly,
that. It was
yes.
really beautiful. Music of Ernest Bloch. We heard the Nigun from Baal Shem, Three Pictures of Hasidic Life, and an arrangement in this case by Andreas Tarkman with Simone Bernardini, violinist, Amihai Grosz, violist, Zvi Plesser, cello, Klaus Stoll, double bass, Sasha Rattle, clarinet, and Sarah Veru, harp, along with our guest today, Avi Abital, on the mandolin. I have to tell you, I was really very, very, you know, moved by everything. And again, how did you start? I mean, when you were playing the mandolin, and perhaps you can explain to the audience the limitations of the mandolin. Other than you have to do this thing that the flamenco guitarists do as well in order to sustain notes.
No, I know what you mean, but of course I never, it's funny because I never think of it as a limited instrument, quite the opposite. But one of the things that you mentioned in the tremolo is that this is the typical technique to sustain a long note. It's
right.
not like a woodwind instrument or a bow instrument that you can sustain a long note. But it's not, the tremolo is not used only for that, but also, of course, as a tool for expression. So there are many different kinds of tremolos that I'm using. It depends on the speed of the tremolo. You can make it a very kind of soft and or very kind of rapid tremolo. tremolo that mm-hmm. brings a little excitement or a little tension into it. So it's used to really imitate, specifically in this album, which has a lot of a melodic element, a very singing one. I use it really to imitate a human voice sometimes.
And I think people don't, you know, that don't play instruments or don't know about these plectrum instruments, you're not playing chords. It's, you know, it's not that chordal thing that you do with a guitar as an accompaniment. I mean, you're playing melodies.
Yes, the mandolin in that sense is more similar to a violin or to flute by range. I mean, it's a melodic instrument, and the range of it is a soprano range, so fairly high. And therefore, in an ensemble, it takes the role of the melodic instrument. Nevertheless, you can strum chords with it. It just sounds much higher than a guitar, and I do indeed use that sometimes. And for example, in the Villa Lobos, that I recorded with Richard Galliano, we switch the parts. I mean, well, the first time I play the mandolin, and he plays the chords, and then when it repeats, I play the chords, and he takes the melody, and then there it sounds like a little bit of the bandolim, the Brazilian black string instruments that is used especially for choro music. The idea was to take to kind of to dialogue with that kind of musical culture.
I was so thrilled that you used. Is it Giora Feldman?
Yes, Giora Feldman.
Oh, Giora. He is one of the greatest clarinetists alive, I think, today.
Absolutely.
Oh, and
absolutely.
Of course, there's something there that way of playing, you know, the clarinet, that's really a certain style, isn't it?
Yes, Giora is the king of klezmer, and is one of the most amazing masters I had the privilege to know and to work with. He's really a very close friend, but also a very important teacher and a very important mentor to me. And the way he plays, I never met personally someone at this kind of artistic levels, and I was so grateful to him. He came and recorded two tracks on this album, the Piazzolla and a little klezmer tune, and that was just magic in the recording studio. I will never forget this moment.
We've just heard the fugue, I Misterio, by Astor Piazzolla from his opera Maria de Buenos Aires. This was an arrangement by Juan Esteban Quachi and featured Giora Feidman clarinet, Richard Galliano accordion, Klaus Stoll double bass, Itamar Dewari percussion, and of course, Avi Avital on mandolin. And then, of course, Catherine Finch, who is a marvelous harpist.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a Welsh work on that, on the album as well.
Yes, that's one of the exceptions. That it was very interesting because I went to Cardiff in the UK, where Catherine lives. And we had some classical pieces that we intended to record. And we indeed worked the whole day on the studio recording them. And And then the end of the day, we had like 1 hour left before my train to London. And we said like, wow, well, that's just for fun. You know, she had a Welsh traditional songbook in the studio. And we said like, why don't we just read something just for fun? And the only thing we had on the music stand is the is literally just the melody, like two lines of a very simple but extremely beautiful folk song. And we kind of worked out the arrangement as we recorded it, and really recorded it without any score, notes, and arrangement, but just played it.
Let it go,
Yes, let it go. And
improvise.
And well, at the end of the day, we listened to it, and it was just the best that we had on this day. And we said, like, okay, we have to include it in the album.
Well, this is what you feel. There is a tremendous, although it's foolish, and there is no freedom when you're playing. I mean, everything is very structured, but you do feel a whole other, you inject another feel into so many of these classical works that we are exposed to. And it's, it sends a message, I think, as well. I mean, there is a universal, music is a universal language, of course, mm-hmm. but you bring in a certain element that is, it's just transforming. I again, was thrilled with the with the album. Have you had some good response with this?
Definitely. I mean, it's just out since the day before yesterday, but we already got a lot of response. A lot of fans been writing me on you know, Facebook and Twitter and making their comments. And what's amazing for me is that how everyone that wrote to me has, I mean, when we released the album, I thought, when we prepared the album, I thought to myself, oh, this will be like a favorite track, or this piece will be a favorite, and so on. And what I discovered is every person has a different kind of favorite tracks, and then when they listen to it more and more, then suddenly change and discover something new. So there's a lot of, to discover, I think, in on the first listen you attach to something else, and then on second or third listen you discover something new. And I think this is why it's so exciting. I mean, for me, I know it because the process of doing it, I realized myself having the same process. It's just each one of the albums is a little microcosmos.
Yes, it is. And but it brings in a certain element that transforms the music, really. All of the classical, it adds a certain element that perhaps was there, only it was hidden in the original works, if you know what I mean, like the Bartók, say, or well, Piazzolla is one of my favorites. So
yes.
I mean, he's just out of this world. And I'd love to hear you do more with his music. I mean, it was a very strange feeling that I had when I looked at this, and I get many, many albums in, and mm-hmm. I said, I guess I better give this a quick listen. And I sat there and I said, oh, gosh, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's, oh, yes. It was such a strange, I said, what happened? You listen to so much and this touches you on a certain level. It's a very, it really gets you on an emotional level. I think many people will feel that way. So kudos to you, Avi. And you've got to live up to this one on your next one.
Oh, absolutely. There are so many ideas for the next album and albums. And, you know, just like working on this one, we treated it like a playground. And you mentioned that before. I mean, with each piece that we chose, we said, how do we transform it? How do we make it modern again and fresh again, as in the moment it was written, although it was 100 years ago?
It's more than that, though. It's really, it's a certain, it's not the musical element. It's the element of another culture. My hat is off to you, and I hope that all goes well, and we look forward to the next incarnation of the music that you record on your next album. Thank you, Avi, and the best to you. Bye-bye.
See you too. Bye.
We've been speaking with mandolin virtuoso Avi Avital on the occasion of his newest release, Between Worlds, on the Deutsche Grammophon label. We conclude today's program with the beautiful aria, the Cantilena, from the Bacchianus Brasileiros No. 5 by Heitor Villa-Lobos. This is an arrangement by Avi Avital and Richard Galliano, who perform along with Klaus Stoll on double bass. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.